for this afternoon that we all gathered here and worshiping your holy name. Father, thank you so much for even the choice of songs that we've sang today. Hosanna, shine Jesus, shine, and even now, blessed be your name. Lord, we know we come before you now, we bow our knees before you. We know that you are the only one that can give life. Father, you are the only one that can raise us up from the empty ways of life. Father, we're so thankful to know that we have a God in heaven who is so loving, who is so compassionate, and wants the best for all of his children. I pray today that you give us soft hearts, hearts that are sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. I pray you help me to speak your words. Father, I pray you open up our eyes, you open up our ears. But above all, Father, help change us into the people of God that you really want us to be. Father, we pray for those who are visiting with us here today, that they will take something away from the message today. And those of us who are members here will also take something away from the message, Father, that we can be all that we need to be for you also. Father, we pray for our brothers in the fellowship. I know we miss Mike Williams at this time. I pray you continue to be with him and continue, Father, just to protect him and heal him and help him to have a speedy recovery. We also remember Adrock right now, who is down with the flu. Father, please help him to have a speedy recovery. Father, help us to understand today that our lives are just a mist. And Father, our lives on here on earth is temporary, but we have an eternal home in heaven, and I pray that we will look forward to that day and speed your coming. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I must say, I'm standing up here today, barely. I got home yesterday with some aches and pains in my knees. But that was okay, that was okay. And the pains left. And when I woke up this morning, there were some pains in my hips. But I prayed and I shaked up the legs and it went. You understand? Now I'm ready to preach the word this morning. Amen, amen, amen. You know, My beautiful wife had a great party yesterday. She was really encouraged by that, you know. 30th of March this year, she turned 35, and we're grateful to the Lord that she's 35, do you understand? That's a new mathematical formula, you know, but... it is all good. It is all good, and, you know, you have a... You know, so you have the 30th of March, that's Ebola's birthday, you've got... Today is the 18th of March. You've got Mother's Day. And then tomorrow is our 23rd wedding anniversary. You know, so we have marvelous March. I'm telling you, man, we are praising Jesus for that. Amen. So you know, for myself, you know, as I think about March, I feel okay, it's marvelous March. There's always a lot happening in March. You understand? So, amen. We praise God for that. Okay. We know that in 2 Peter chapter 3, that it talks about the whole idea of the day of the Lord. And we know in 2 Peter 3 that there were some people who were scoffing and were saying, when is God going to come? They were saying, man, you know, for so many times in eternity, we have been hearing about God coming 2,000 years, 3,000 years. You know what, guys? A lot of times when we come up here, I think our maths might be wrong. Because every single time we preach, in 1900s, they were saying Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Now we're now in 2012, and we keep on saying Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Guys, it's more than that. You understand? So, why don't you make a little bit of correction right there? Because, are you going to tell me that when we get to 3,000, we're going to be saying he died 2,000 years ago? So, we got to correct that mathematics. Isn't that right? But only Jesus knows. What did you say in Acts? Neither us nor the Father knows. And there's been so much nonsense flying around about when he's going to come back. Nobody knows the day or the hour when he is going to come back. Isn't that right? But I got to tell you here today, you know, the scoffers are saying, when is he going to come back? You know, God does not procrastinate. God's inaction doesn't mean that God is sleeping. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 11, I've entitled this message, Speed His Coming. You know, the message today is a motivational message because we do not use the day of the Lord. You know, the day of the Lord should definitely awaken us. But it should be a message to motivate us into action. That if Jesus is coming back, I've got to be ready. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 11. Okay, I'll pick it up from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. What should we be looking forward to? The day of the Lord, and we've got to speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. Now, in Old Testament times, in the days of Noah, what did God do? God used water. Isn't that right? He's using the elements. And he's saying this time around is going to be fire. Wow. And the elements will melt in the heat. Guys, have you ever seen melting plastic before? When you throw plastic into the fire and you see that thing melt. Or, sometimes when we used to go for the father and son's retreats, and we have these bonfires, and you see all of these little kids, they'll be there throwing in the wood, they'll throw in every single thing there, and you see the bonfire, you just see that. I mean, fire is intense. I mean, that was just steam. I thought that was fire. That's steam. That's steam. Wow. Amen. Okay. Wow. All right. Gonna be scared there. Okay. Ain't ready to go yet. That's not the day of the Lord. That's just steam from an urn. All right. Okay. But you know, then it goes in verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. I like that. In keeping with his promise. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I got to tell you guys, when you read First Peter, the book of First Peter, it's got some encouraging chapters there. When you start to delve into Second Peter, it gets in there. It talks about false teachers and their destruction, the day of the Lord. But it's Bible, and sometimes you take the good bits, you take the bad bits. These are not bad bits, these are inspirational bits to keep us ready for the day of the Lord. We've got to be ready, guys. As a fellowship, we've got to be ready. Every time, when you wake up, you have a quiet time. Isn't it? I hope you're having a quiet time every morning. You understand? Sometimes I wake up in the morning and the quiet times are not as where they need to be. But I hope we are praying to God every morning and reading our Bibles. Because we've got to prepare ourselves spiritually speaking. If I walk out of the door of my house and I go to work and I have had a good quiet time in the morning, now you can have it any other time. But I believe you've got to prepare yourself in the morning because you're walking out into a spiritual battle. But if I walk out of my house in the morning and I haven't had a good time with God, and I go to my workplace and I give 100%, then I'm worshipping the God of my job and not the God of the Bible. Bible says here, in 2 Peter chapter 1, you can write this down. 2 Peter 1 verse 5, verse 10, verse 15. Make every effort. Brothers and sisters, this morning, for those of us visiting with us, if we are going to speed his coming, Peter right here, he just gives us three things I just want to leave with you today to encourage you that as disciples, we've got to make every effort in every area of our lives. Point number one, make every effort to live godly lives. Make every effort to live godly lives. In 2 Peter 3, right there, it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now, where I'm from, where thieves are coming to your place, they don't surprise you. They send you a letter and say, we are coming. Get ready. They say, get ready. We are coming. In the past, they kind of sneak up on you. But sometimes they say, we are coming. Just get ready for us. And they will come with their guns and everything. Do you understand? So, when it comes to the scriptures, this is anti-Bible. They say, man, the day of the Lord, no, we don't do that. We tell you that we are coming. Man, and they come ready. Do you understand? But I got to tell you guys, none of us here today can predict the day of the Lord. None of us. None of us. When you look at Old Testament prophecies, guys, the day of the Lord is a scary day. It is scary. Look at Isaiah quickly. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. It's scary, guys. You know, sometimes we walk around here, you know, and we can get all a little bit romantic about it, you know. Yeah, heaven, hell. When God comes out, all throughout the Old Testament, man, it was a day of gloom. Isaiah chapter 13. Look what the Bible says. Isaiah 13. Man, it's like a speeding train that's lost its brakes, about to crash into the mountain. Look at Isaiah 13 verse 6. Look at what it says. Are we there? It says, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp." Can you imagine, guys? Every heart will melt. Every heart. You know what, guys? I want to be ready on that day. I want to be ready. Do you understand? Others will say, people will be hiding in caves. Revelation. It says, terror will see them. Pain and anguish will greet them. They will writhe like women in labor. They will look aghast at each other. Their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their lights. The rising sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Come on, guys. Man. You know, when you read that, it motivates you to say, man, I just want to be right. Isn't that right? Now, we know that the day of the Lord, even though it's kind of gloomy, sometimes it can be hard-hitting, the cross is our motivation. Isn't that right? Christ's love should be the one that really compels. It says, you know, we do not know the day of the hour, you know, but we must constantly be ready. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, also the day of the Lord is going to be a day unlike anything before. It says the earth, look at what it says right there in verse 12. Second sentence, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise we are looking for now, guys, let me talk about the elements right here. I've seen people in my time in working in an hospital that have what we call second or third degree burns. Fire disfigures. And all it needs is a little bit of oxygen. Fire disfigures. It burns you so badly, you start losing your limbs. King's Cross fire, many years ago. The terrorist attack on London. When people were disfigured by fire. And what do we tell our children? Don't play with fire. Isn't that right? But sometimes kids don't listen. Isn't that right? And then they touch the stove and say, "Mommy, help me!" You know, you put ice on it. But I tell you something, guys. You look at the fire of God, I tell you, man, that thing is peppered with something different. If I took up a firewood right now burning, and I said, "Okay, John, would you like to fellowship that burning wood?" John would be jumping out of his seat. No, because none of us wants to play with fire. It says it's going to be a day which the heavens will pass away with a roar. It's going to be a day when the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. Now, you know what the elements mean right here? Let me just give you a little bit of a science lesson this morning. You know, the elements, the smallest parts. How many of us, all of us did your level? Does anybody know what an atom is? Atom. What's an atom? Anybody knows what an atom is? The smallest indivisible particle. And God is going to destroy that too. Where you cannot see with your eye. Everything around us. Atomic power is all around us. Everything around us is made up of atoms. And he's saying, let me tell you something, God is going to destroy it. Even the very breath that we take is filled with flammable and explosive gases. Every breath that we take. The water which covers 75% of this earth's surface is composed of gases so explosive and volatile that any molecular change, you change the structure of an atom, it becomes something else. Any molecular change will do what? Will result in the total destruction of the planet. God has created all things the way He wants it to. You try and change that structure, what happens? Man, why do you think scientists make nuclear bombs? Total destruction. But you know, we can gloss over that. I got to tell you guys, when you look into it, you know, fission bombs, you know, the bombs of Nagasaki. What did it do to people? It wiped people out. How many miles radius? I don't know whether it was 3 miles or 5 miles. Let me tell you something, guys. Nagasaki does not compare to the day of the Lord. Think about the tsunami in Japan. The day of the Lord does not even... the tsunami in Japan pales into comparison compared to the day of the Lord. We see all of these human disasters. We see all of these physical and we kind of think, man, well, let me tell you something, man. The day of the Lord, man, watch out. Because when it comes, none of us will be trembling. We'll be saying, God, take me away from the earth. Oxygen. All of us taking oxygen every day. Don't we take in oxygen every day? That is what we used to breathe. Oxygen is required for all combustion. Without, you know, a fire needs oxygen so that the flames can go. It is what fire feeds on. Take away the oxygen and the fire dies. Turn it on and the fire flares. It keeps on burning. Yet with every breath, we pull in this highly explosive material into our bodies every single day. That's the oxygen you breathe. Elements. Nitrogen. Nitrogen is a component that makes dynamite. TNT and nitroglycerin explosive. Hey, the terrorists, that's what they used to make their bombs. With Semtex and all these things. That's what they use. Yet every day we gulp massive quantities of nitrogen in the air we breathe. Cannot the same God, brothers and sisters, who made these elements and combined them in such a way that they do not explode, also change the mixture and cause them to explode? Can't he do that? Of course he can. Table salt. Now, too much salt is not good for you. Not good for the blood and the high blood pressure. Alright? Low sodium salt. You know what I'm saying? Not good. You know, some of us, we just pour the salt on. Not good for you guys. Catches up with you in old age. Amen. Just a free one right there. Salt. Table salt. It is one-third sodium. Sodium by itself is a great thing. You know, back in the days, O-level chemistry or A-level chemistry, it's like a gray potty substance. It must be kept in kerosene. Or it will explode. If a drop is placed in water, it will result in a violent fire, yet we eat it every day. Well, guys, can you see all of the elements in your body? So even though God is saying he's going to destroy the elements, let me tell you something, your body is going to be first. We're going to get all burned up. You understand? You know, went to the barbers on Saturday, all growing up. It's all going to get burned up. So what should I take care of? My heart. Not the cosmetics, what I wear. Got to take care of the hearts. Because that's what God is going to judge on Judgment Day. Water. It is composed of oxygen and hydrogen. We normally say H2O. Both of them highly explosive. Yet combined in a manner that makes them safe. All God has to do is speak the word and the chemical arrangement is altered and the world is a huge fuel dump. He just needs to speak the word. I want H3O. I want H4O, not H2O. And the whole world becomes what? An explosive fuel dump. The atom. And yet we drink it every day. When the atom is split, a chain reaction is set in motion that has the power to level cities and vaporize men. We've seen it already, guys. Bombs. Yet we are all made up of what? Atoms. You know what, guys? And then the writer goes here. After I said everything is going to be melted, what does he encourage us? He says, we should be living holy and godly lives. Brothers and sisters, this morning, you know, you look at yourself, you are what? A highly inflammable being. Ready to be burned. Highly inflammable. God wakes up one day and just says, okay guys, man, I'm tired of you. Okay, I'm just going to change the atomic structure of man. Isn't that right? Explosion. You got salt in your body. You don't have salt in your body. You've got enough salt for God to say, okay, let me change it. Water, hydrogen, let me change it right here. You're gone. Praise God that you're here today. You've got to be thankful. Look at our world today, brothers and sisters. What are some of the things which the world considers so important and waste so much ambition and energy trying to attain? What do people put their investments in today? Money? All right? Anything else, please? Money and status. Isn't that right? Okay, status? Anything else? A career. Now, is money You see, and I know that, you know, as a fellowship, you know, we talk about these things, but, you know, when you become a disciple of Jesus, where God becomes your all, then money becomes secondary. It doesn't become your God. So I'm not saying as a minister or as a congregation that you shouldn't have money because you need money to live. Isn't that right? God blesses us with money so we can bless others. You cannot take the money to heaven. It's all going to get burned up. Status. Isn't that right? The rich young man thought he had status. Isn't that right? Hey, Lord, I've done all these things since I was a young boy. Jesus says what? Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. Why did he tell him to give to the poor? Because if you give money back to the poor, you're not getting it back. You're not getting it back. That money is gone. Status. Money. You understand? I'm talking about status. Let me tell you something, guys. When you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be thinking about status. You're not going to be thinking what you have in your bank accounts. You're not going to be thinking about, man, you know, one wife or all of you. You're going to be thinking about, man, where am I going to go if I pass away right now? Anybody else? What are some things, people? Yeah. Oh, properties. Properties. You said properties, not property. Properties, okay. Properties. The rich young fool, Luke 12. I'm going to build this. Nothing wrong in investments, guys, but when those investments start to grab your heart and it takes you away from loving God, you have a problem. Properties, yeah? Power. Everybody wants power. Everybody wants power. That's it. Education. Now, is education wrong? No. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. Well, the message of the cross is what? Foolishness. To those who are what? Perishing. Physical appearance. Why did you go there, sister? Why is that such a big thing nowadays? Self-worth. Come on, the teens. You know what I'm saying? We live in a culture today. If he doesn't have a tick, if he doesn't have Fila or Nike or Reebok, isn't that right? It's going to have a tick. Hey, guys, I wear Primark. See what I'm saying, guys? Because we can get all wound up in how we look. It's not about your self-worth. It's about your heart's worth in the eyes of God. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, this morning, where have you placed your investments? In which world have you placed them? Are your investments in heaven or are they on earth? You know, yesterday, you know, my wife, you know, we're celebrating the party. You know, as I looked around here, I felt, you know, for me personally, I do want to thank the brothers and sisters yesterday just for all of your encouragement, for all of your support there. Do you understand what I'm saying? But, you know, as I sat down there yesterday, I felt, you know what? I wouldn't have traded anything else in the world than to have sat in that party yesterday to see our brothers and sisters and to know that this is what the kingdom is all about. This is what our lifelong investment is all about. When you can live a life and you know that, man, this is life on earth right here. It's not about the money. It's not about what you've had. It's about your heart for God. And, you know, I started kind of feeling, man, this is worth it. I like this. We're going to have more of this. I let loose yesterday and it was good. I let loose. I had to let loose yesterday, man. All those moves were coming out. Oh, brother. I'm preaching right now. I'm preaching. Where have you placed your investments this morning? Some people here today are making the world their only concern. You might be visiting here with us today, and it's all about your career. It's all about your education. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. It's all about your looks. It's all about what people think. But are you really investing in Jesus, in the scriptures, in eternal life? The world we live in today is so oblivious. Walk the streets of the city. Walk the streets of London. Walk the streets of... And you kind of see a void in people's eyes. As people are chasing these things, and you kind of think, man, can you please leave some room for God? If you say, I have concern for the next world, then how do you show it in your day-to-day living? How do you show it in your day-to-day living? The things that you do determine or tell people where your focus and your priorities are. As a fellowship, we say, you know, priorities. But how are we doing in terms of encouraging our brothers and sisters by meetings of the body? Isn't that right? And I know sometimes, you know, the shift work that we've got to do once in a while. You know what I'm saying, guys? But hey, where are my priorities right now? Am I devoted to the meetings of the body? It's fine. When everything gets touched or burned up, the only thing that will remain is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything will get burned up. This is going, you know, I went a nice tie today. I had to look in the mirror to do the tie. It's going to get burned up. This jacket is going to get burned up. The car will get burned up. The house will get burned up. You understand? This is going to get burned up. Cufflinks burned up. Watch burned up. Some of the nice things I love in the house are going to get burned up. And the only thing that's going to remain is what God is going to say. Hey, did you abide by my words? This morning, what are you living for? Where are your priorities? Teenagers, I hope you're investing in God in your young age. Remember your Creator, Ecclesiastes says, in your days of youth. See the teens over there, right there? Okay, good, right there. Teenagers. I love the teens. I was once a teenager. You wouldn't believe it. Can I encourage you, teenagers? And I know this is my second point. I want you to make a difference in the land that you're living in. Make a difference around you. I tell you, a lot of, you know, when you watch the news, there was a Ghanaian young guy walking into an area. The guys chased him down. Great football player. They knifed him to death. I'm kind of thinking, what is London becoming? And teens, you know, we need you just to be a light. We need you just to pray for these teenagers, not just in the southeast, but in London, in the UK. Because it just seems as if their mind is going to a place where it shouldn't be going to. The encouragement to live godly lives. People will see it, and people will be the best that they need to be for you. You know, it says we need to be godly. Holiness and godly. The Bible says, be holy because I am holy. You know, the word holy means to separate, to cut off. It means you've got to be different. You know, one of the things yesterday, as Bola and I were talking, Bola said, you know what, most of my friends, they see me at work. They've seen another side of me at work. But it was good for them to come to the party and to see that Christians too can have fun without swearing or drinking. You understand what I'm saying? That I said, yeah, we can have fun as disciples. Isn't that right? Without the swearing. And it was good. One of our friends said, was it Lynn? Moving to Yorkshire, said, man, you know what, Bola, you know, what I see right here, I see a lot of love in the room. Hey, buy our love, guys. It's not as if we have the money. By our what? By our love. By our godliness. What exudes from our body. And people had a great time. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and the music, you know, Tim did a great job. Wanted to make sure that the lyrics were fine. You know, sir. Not anything untoward that will mess up your mind while you're on the dance floor. You know, mess up the whole legs there. You know, sir. No. Don't want this right here. Very, very good. Great music. Fantastic. Are you separate from the world? Are you acting as if you're separate in the church but different in your workplace? You know, brothers and sisters, when I got baptized, when you got baptized, you were called out from a godless world around you. And you were set apart for God. I think sometimes, consecration, I think sometimes we fail to forget that when you become a baptized disciple, you have been set apart. Because a lot of times that word set apart, we use it for men, for holier men. No. You become a disciple, you are set apart for the Holy Spirit, for God to do amazing things in your life. You've been set apart today, isn't that right? In every area, we are set apart. Our convictions, you walk into a place and they want you to say, no, I'm going to tell the truth, isn't that right? Because you are set apart. You know, how about godliness? For the sake of time, godliness describes a person whose life is devoted to pleasing God. Godliness is being aware of God in every area of your life. Aware of God's presence in your life every single day, every single hour. You know, we're doing a study this morning, and in 2 Timothy 3, right, this as a reference, says, people having a form of godliness, but doing what? Denying its power. I got to tell you, how's your behavior this morning? How's your behavior? You know, sometimes you can put on a behavior, but I'm talking about the attitudes of the hearts. Those attitudes that can come into our minds, that we're so quick to become attitudinal. One little thing, do you understand what I'm saying? And we have an idea. But how's our behavior? I've got to watch my own heart, you know, because sometimes when things don't go my way, there's some rumbling and rumbling going on in my heart. And sometimes it comes out in a very, in a spiritual way. I dress up kind of spiritually. You know, sir, and you kind of think, brother, you're insane. Just repent. And it can be very subtle. But how's our godliness this morning? How is our behavior? You know, towards the end of 2 Peter 3, it says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. This morning, are you at peace with God this morning? Are you at peace with God this morning? The other times I go to bed, and I'm not at peace. Maybe I'm thinking about a family member. Maybe I'm thinking about my mom. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those thoughts go through my mind. She's a disciple. She's a... my mom is going to be 72 this year in November. You kind of think, man, okay, she had a hip replacement surgery. Life is going well. But sometimes those thoughts go in. She could go anytime. And I say, amen. But she's going to a good place. And then I pray. I say, hey God, you are in control. But are there things in your life that you're not at peace with God? You only know. Are you making every effort this morning to be at peace when He returns? You never know the day or the hour. You know, many brothers of funerals that I did, there was a gentleman in Nigeria, Pajato. He was a fireball. This guy was in his 80s. Oh, man. He was converted. He made this guy used to live in a church commune, got converted. He was a firecracker in his 80s. And everywhere he went, he always shared his faith. Everywhere he went, you will know. I was so amazing just there. Towards another part of his life, just kind of talking, the guy said, you know, I'm an old man, I'm ready to go anytime, but I'm ready to go to meet my maker, I'm ready anytime. And I felt that was a guy in his 80s who got converted in his late 70s, but who saw the scriptures for what it was and said, I am ready anytime. And let me tell you something, I mean, this praises, the things that people were saying at his funeral was incredible. You know, Mike Williams went to his house the other day, a couple of weeks ago. And Mike said, I said, Mike, I want to be coming over, do some Bible study. We did a Bible study. And Mike said, Tokes, let's do a study on heaven. And then Mike was describing his own imagination of heaven. Here's a guy blind from his youth. And he was saying, I think it's like a green field where there are trees and birds and flowers. His imagination of heaven. And here I was sitting and I said, man, this guy's getting ready. He knows. But how about us? What do you think of the most? Heaven, your job, your bank account, the overdraft, the mortgage, the children. Oh, you're going there. Oh, people are laughing because they're getting convicted now. Okay. Amen. Okay. Point number two. Let's just leave that point out. Point number two. Make every effort to win the lost. 2 Peter 3:15-16. Make every effort to win the lost. You know, one of the things we see in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, it says right there in verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know what? I believe God was patient with me. He's been patient with every single one of us. Brothers and sisters, if there's anything, April 15 is our invitation service. The reason why we share our faith is because of God's salvation, because of God's patience. And guys, you know what? God is patient with people around us. I know He's been patient with family members, and we've shared the gospel with them. They've rejected it, they've refused it, but amen, I've got to keep on sharing my faith. But God is patient, you know, and His slowness, you know, when we say that God is kind of, His slowness means salvation, guys. It's an opportunity that before He comes, we can really give our hearts to people and really share our faith. And guys, I hope you are praying for people around you in every shape or form possible. Time is going, you know. John prayed for family members. You know, John prayed for family members. And it's so encouraging because I know right now, Malcolm has been studying with Mark Wells' dad, Marvin in the Northwest. He's been studying with and guys, these things are real. And these things, they touch our hearts. They pull our heartstrings and they're real. And you know what, guys, we've got to get on our knees and start and pray for them and say, God, if it's not me, send somebody else. If they won't listen to me because they're going to say, who are you to come and teach me the Bible? Use somebody else, God. Well, you've got to take it before God. You have got to. You cannot cower back because, see, some of us are kind of thinking, well, I've tried. You haven't tried enough. Have you fasted? Have you prayed? And sometimes we get around family members, and you know, and it's good to talk about the politics and talk about David Cameron, and what's the other guy's name? Miliband, you know what I'm saying? And we can talk about the Queen, and we can talk about politics. You know what, guys? Share that conversation. You've got to share it. And you've got to ask, how's your faith? Mom, Dad, cousin, auntie, how's your faith? And even though that day you might go to the house and they might not serve you desserts because you've spoiled their appetite, that's okay. But sometimes, many of us, we have an opportunity to see our parents more and more and more, but you've got to go there. You know, in Paul's days, I've got to cut this short right here. You know, in the days of Paul, one of the things that we see right here, it says some men, what were they doing right here? They were distorting the scriptures. They were distorting the scriptures to do what? To defend their ignorance. And some of them were accusing Paul by saying that since we are saved by grace, it makes no difference how we live. It does make a difference how you live. It does make a big difference how you live. And that's something that we keep on preaching as a church. You know, you got to. How do we live? We live a life of purity. We live a life of integrity. We live a life of honesty. Don't we? No, we do. We do. But I think there's a perversion going on nowadays. And I think, well, that's why we share our faith. There's a perversion going on nowadays where people are twisting the scriptures and are manufacturing doctrines that are contrary to the word of God. Brothers and sisters, I think sometimes we can fall into that. Do you understand? And I think we've got to be careful. We need to accept the Bible for what it is. Accept the teachings for what it is. And not try to make them say what we want them to say. Since we're on that topic, you know, we live in a world today, when it comes to the issue of salvation, there are so many ways that people are getting saved. And I don't want to dwell on that. But I think a lot of these false teachers are twisting scriptures. Guys, we've got to be able to get in there. And I hope most of us know our Bibles, you understand? People need to know how to get saved. I'm in the business of helping people get saved with God on my side. But as a disciple, you are in the business, isn't that right, of seeking and saving the lost. God changes the hearts. We are the messengers that, what do? We open the word of life. There are a lot of sincere people out there. Sincere people who sometimes their characters will put us to shame. I don't deny that. But they still need the gospel. Let God be the judge of that. How are we doing, guys? How's our compassion for the lost? How's our compassion for the lost? I've been reaching out to a friend of mine for many years. Was in the church. Great family. Wife became a drug addict. Still reaching out to him. Great daughter. He was going to walk away from his child. And I said, you know what? That child has your last name. I said, are you going to leave your child with a mother who's a drug addict? I said, you've got to go through the pain. You've got to go through the battle. And you've got to hold on. I've been praying for him now for the past 7-8 years that he comes back. Because there's no life outside the kingdom of God. Guys, how's our compassion? How's our compassion today? Family members, those that we see around us. I get convicted sometimes when I know that I had an opportunity to share my faith and I don't share my faith. You know, and it's not as if God is going to be angry, but it's a missed opportunity because you never know what God can do. I'm feeling, you know, because one of our neighbors, I don't see the guy anymore. He was an alcoholic, and one night the ambulance came and the police came. I've never seen him ever since. Living right across the road from us. And then it dawned on me that, you know one thing? You've got to make the most of your opportunity. He doesn't live there anymore. I think the wife kicked him out, alcoholic. But it dawned on me one night when I just woke up and I saw two ambulances and a massive police van just to take one guy. And then when they were taking him out, they had his hands. He was restrained, and I kind of felt, man, talks, you missed that opportunity. And I felt convicted in my heart. And so that's why you talk to your neighbors. Isn't that right? Talk to your neighbors. And you talk to them about your faith and what you do. Not just about, okay, it's nice to live next door to you. Come for a tea party. No, not just tea party. You share your faith with them and invite them to church. And if they don't like church, what do you do? Amen to that. That's fine. You're still your friends. Point number three, as we close out. Make every effort to grow spiritually. Brothers and sisters, are we growing? Okay, nobody's growing. Okay, let's have a time of fellowship. Are we growing, guys? Are we growing? Are we growing? Are we growing? You know, in 2 Peter 3, here's one thing I love as Paul closes out here. In 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2, dear friends, he calls us friends. He refers to them as what? Friends. He says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. You know, chapter 3, verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. 3:14. Look at what it says. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And then verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Be on your guard. Are you on your guard? I don't think I'm on my guard most of the times. I get caught out sometimes, you understand? You know, sometimes you catch yourself and you kind of think, man, I wasn't on my guard there. When you're in situations where, you know, explicits are coming, I kind of think, man, I should have walked away. I wasn't on my guard. We're always going to be on our guard. I know that word, you know, the word translated, it means beware. You know, when you see a sign in somebody's house, beware of dogs. Now, can I give you a secret right here, guys? I know some of us, we don't like dogs. I grew up with dogs. First dog was Ginger, got burnt in a pit. In the neighborhood. The second one, okay, no. The first one was Bruno. No, Ginger. Ginger was the first one. The second one was Bruno. We had dogs. Now, I know some of us don't like dogs here. But can I give you a secret here? Most houses, where they put beware of dogs, it's a lie. When you look at the signs on people's doors, it says beware of dogs. It is just a ploy. There are no dogs there. Sometimes you walk past those houses, you don't hear a barking sound. Now, but you're still going to beware. You understand what I'm saying? What does it mean? Constantly guarding yourself. Peter's readers in the book here, they knew the truth. Peter is saying, guys, do not rest on your laurels. They had a lot of the Bible, guys. We're not a church of knowledge only. We're a church of living the life. Don't think, you know, because you know the gospel scriptures or we teach the doctrine, that is enough. You've got to live the life. Let us not become overconfident. It says, watch out lest you fall. You know, we've all heard, as it says, I'm sure we've heard the saying, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Have you all heard that before? We've all heard that. Where do we get our English word prognosis from? When you go to the doctor's office, you get a prognosis. Isn't that right? I went to my GP a month ago. I said, look, I'm getting old right now. I'm 52 this year. I've never done a full body, a full physical. I said, let me get some blood tests so I can do a body MOT. So he was ticking all the boxes. I said, man, it's a lot right here. Okay, so he's ticking this blood test, that blood test, that blood test, liver function, prostate test. He's checking everything, your blood pressure, your platelets, everything, lymph nodes. I said, okay, here I am, Erics Community Center. I didn't even drive the other day. I walked there, praying on the way and saying, Lord, help me right now. They're going to draw my blood. And then, man, I'm there trembling and saying, man, woo, man. And then I called the GP's office. I said, my name is Mr. Shawola, please. Calling for the results of my blood test. Not telling you, no. Came back, they said, Mr. Shawola, you're fine. And I just said, man. Woo! I was praising God that day. I said, hallelujah, man. But could you imagine that? when a medical prognosis is made on your body, isn't that right? A patient is better able to prepare themselves. Over the years as a disciple, God has given us every single thing to prepare us for the day of the Lord. You've got everything. Isn't that right? You walk into a doctor, your doctor says, you know, lay off the fried chicken. Now, we had fried chicken yesterday. I don't think that would damage us. You understand? You understand? That was nice. That was nice. Lay off the salt. Lay off the bacon. And other things that will clog your artery. Or you have a heart, or you have a serious heart problem. Then you know beforehand that you can change your eating habits. According to the information that you've received. And yet, Peter has given us future prognosis here, the day of the Lord. It's coming, guys. Are you going to change your diet, spiritually speaking? What needs to change in your spiritual diet? Lackadaisical quiet times? Inconsistent Bible study? Some of the vices in our days, you know, 2 Peter 3 verse 15, having a form of godliness. But what do we need to change in our lifestyles to be ready for this day? What lifestyle changes do you need to make? Is it people around me? You understand? That are pulling me away from the gospel? What are they? Are we armed, brothers and sisters? We've got the information. Are we willing to change that information? Are you getting to know Jesus and what pleases him better? Let me just round up right here. How strong is your appetite for the food of God's word? If there's no physical appetite in a child, something is wrong. If there's no spiritual appetite in a child of God, something is wrong. How is your spiritual appetite this morning? Isn't that the real deal? Isn't that the real deal of, you know, guys, we've got to keep on hungering and thirsting for righteousness. How is your appetite for Bible study, for prayer? How is it? You know, the question we ask our children is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Don't we ask them that? When I was growing up back in Nigeria, I remember my mom took me to the dentist. And I remember it was in Lagos Island. I was around probably, I was in primary school then. Probably I was, who knows what year. Was it primary or secondary or 9, 10, about to go to secondary. And the dentist asked me, says, what do you want to be in life when you grow up? I said, I wanted to be a meat seller. I wanted to be a butcher. Hey, you know, my mom is easygoing. You know what I'm saying? Amen. But you know, you mentioned that to the dad, meat seller, butcher, it's a job, isn't that right? But I think sometimes in our culture, you want to become a meat seller, is that everything? Engineer, doctor, accountant. A job is a job, isn't that right? Now, you know, we aim for different things in life, but I praise God for the butchers who take care of the meat that we buy from them. Health and safety. I praise God for them. We had a butcher who became an evangelist. In the church, a butcher who became an evangelist in God's church. How are you doing, guys? It's a good question for all of us to ask. Are you growing? Are you developing? Are you maturing? Guys, brothers, spiritually speaking, we must never ever stop growing. I was encouraged yesterday when Helen stood up there and says, you know, Bola is a great communicator. She asks a lot of questions. I ask tons of questions. Why? Because I want to grow. Am I maturing? You know what growing is, brothers and sisters? Growing is falling down, getting up, falling down, getting up, falling down, getting up, falling down, getting up. I have fallen many times, but I've learned how to pick myself up again. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't want to, some of those lessons, I don't want to learn them again. But I know God has some more challenges in front to humble my heart and to test me again and mature me. But hey, when those challenges come, let me tell you something. I'm going to pick myself up again with the Lord. We pray and say, okay, God, here I go again. Growing, falling, growing and falling. You know, today we looked at 3 points. How's our godliness? Can we make every effort, guys, to be godly? Every effort to win the loss. And every single effort, brothers and sisters, to grow spiritually speaking. We cannot become stagnant as a church. Then we cannot be a light. And for every single one of us individually, you know what you need to grow in. You know, this year, one of my prayer focuses this year was to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That was my prayer points. And then I stopped. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I said, I've got to get back to that. Because I want to go. So that's what it's all about, guys. What is it for you? Brothers and sisters, let us be all we need to be. Unless speed is coming. You understand? Bones might be aching. Hips might be aching. Hairs might be falling off. But God is concerned about the heart. God bless you all. Amen. 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 Thanks.
Amen. Great lesson from Tobes there. Speed is coming. You know, making every effort to live godly lives. You know.